Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show you how the game is played. Here we go again. Why aren't you singing along? Sing along!
Maybe I will later tonight.
God, you are... Kenny's shaking his head. I agree. Jeff, come on. Browns in its first and 10. So get on your feet and let the games begin. Here we go again. Man. Fine, forget it. You are the radio equivalent to intestinal turmoil.
Ken, you know I'm not preseason guy. I've never been preseason guy. You're the quintessential preseason guy.
You were
guy.
Singing at the beginning of camp. Camp's yeah. Just running around so in shorts.
I was excited. This is the first time in a long time I was excited about camp. But now it's preseason, and I just know there's like 12 games tonight. How many games are there in the NFL
You're
tonight?
The worst. A full slate.
There's only one that matters.
If Baker was starting, I'd be more excited, obviously. You know me as a big Baker supporter.
At the beginning of a camp, we had like six more receivers on the team, too.
Chance to win.
That's when it was fun, and we were innocent.
You might win $1,000. You got to get the code word. Right now, it's Jeff Thomas with the news dump.
All right, boys. News dump brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online, windownation.com. We'll start some baseball news. Last night, good night for the Tribe. Francisco Lindor, 3-run homer in the bottom of the ninth, and the Indians beat the Twins 5-2. Allow me to play the role of Johnny Raincloud.
Yeah?
Are you able to enjoy the moments where Frankie does something like that, or do you still ponder in the back of your mind? It's unlikely he's in Cleveland after 2021.
What kind of question is that?
Why are you doing that?
That's the end of the news dump.
That's it?
Okay, good.
It's over.
Put it off.
Peace out.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you ask a question like that?
Because it's a question you've asked before.
No, I have. Have I?
Yes.
I have not asked that question.
Well, we've brought it up as it, like, when we're looking at the future of the Indians. Today's not the day. Today's the day to celebrate Francisco Lindor, or of course also go after Cody Allen, who got the win, by the way.
Yeah, Cody Allen got the win. That's how meaningless wins and losses are with pitchers. Cody got the win. Hey, Cody. Congratulations, Cody.
Are you concerned about them using baby powder in the celebration? I mean, that was a little dangerous last night. He's saying he gets the home plate and he couldn't breathe.
Well, I don't like the smell of it.
Well, it's not the smell. I mean,
I like the smell
you're
of gold bond.
The guy just won the game.
The best part is if you zoom in on Trevor Bauer,
who white potters to smush your face in.
Who I've done a total 180. I'm going to disregard that. Trevor Bauer walks out of the dugout, has the littlest, teeniest, tiniest cup, like the cups we used to be allowed to have here at the radio station, which we have now been stripped of. Thanks, Entercom. So he brings out this little cup, walks over. It's full of Gatorade. It might have been like an 8-ounce cup. And he made sure with all the fracas breaking out because of the walk-off, make sure none of it spills, very carefully walks over like a waiter, and then just tips it over on top of Lindor, then walks away.
The special kind of guy?
He is bizarre, but I was dying.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay.
Oh, I will. Thanks, Ken.
It's going great.
I'm still just
trying to have a little fun with you.
I am still.
Get all up there.
Everybody's been getting put in a bad mood lately. I'm in a bad mood now after what you asked me about Francisco Lindor.
All right, Browns kick off the preseason tonight. Speaking of bad moods, Tyrod Taylor, where you're starting quarterback. Baker Mayfield, though, expect to see a lot of action. Besides Mayfield, who's the one guy you hope shines this evening in New Jersey?
Antonio Callaway. I hope he's amazing.
For the guy you didn't want to draft, that's interesting.
I hope he smokes them.
For the guy you wanted nothing to do with. It's amazing how Ken flip-flops.
I hope he does not smoke them.
Yeah, smoking is the bad thing. We don't want any smoking.
I was making a joke.
Boy, that's...
God, you're the worst.
That's interesting.
Like, smoke them if you got them.
You said other than Tyrod, right? You said other than Tyrod?
Other than Baker and Tyrod, probably.
Okay, how about Nick Chubb?
Mine's Joel Bitonio.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah. It beat me up for that.
Left tackle, baby.
Good left tackle. I don't have the sheet. Do I have the sheet? Here we are. Here we go.
It's dollar.
Dollars, yep, dollar's the word. D-O-L-L-A-R. Text dollar to 72881 or go to entercomcontest.com. Enter the code word dollar by the end of the hour because it's time for this hour's Pigskin Payout. Code word, do not text and drive. Message and data rates, they apply. Good luck during the Pigskin Payout, a national contest powered by Dionys Meats on 92.3. The fan, that word again, dollar. Thank you very much, Anthony.
All right, Antonio Callaway, speaking of everybody's hero. May play tonight. We're not sure how much he will see action in New Jersey after the issues with the cops last weekend. But the question is, when you travel, do you leave ammo just laying around your dashboard and console?
No.
All right, where was that in the car? Because my stupid phone would not allow me to even watch the dumb video. So I'm sitting there texting Ken, Dustin, and Keith, and they're like, watch the video. And I'm like, but wait, these guys on Twitter are saying this, and then it's Keith, watch the video. And I'm saying, well, wait, this kind of blows up his argument that he didn't know whose car it was, and then Dustin goes, watch the video.
Now, it's well known that I get about 3 hours of sleep a day. I accidentally fell asleep in the chair, and I woke up, and I saw a tweet on my timeline that says, this Antonio Callaway stuff is pretty bad. I went, whoa. And I clicked on the video. I go, no, that's not bad at all. He's basically telling him he's a fan. And I go, what is this? And so at first I go, oh, my God. I stumped to keep a guy who had guns in the car. No, it was the back strap, which is a piece of plastic that hooks to the back of the frame of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
But the gun, the firearm, was not in the car.
That's legal. He's allowed to have that stuff in the car. It was just...
Says America.
It's just amazing that it just sounds bigger. It sounds larger than life.
Weed, story,
guns, bullets.
USA Today. Parts of a gun. Like, whoa, what?
Like he dismantled it afterwards to get rid of the evidence?
I was like, what are you guys doing? You guys going through Antonio Callaway's car or Ted Kaczynski's cabin? What are you guys doing over here? Oh, no, it's all perfectly legal. Oh, okay. All right.
By the way, I got pulled over a couple of years ago. This doesn't work. Like, you expect, like in this case, the officer's like, hey, I'm a big Browns fan. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Oof, oof, oof. Like, I expected to hear that on the dashboard camera. The guy that pulled me over is like, yeah, I don't really like your show. You guys talk too much about the Browns. Never works like that.
$200 fine just for that. All right, finally, PGA Championship is going to... Actually, it's just underway now, and some of the bigger names later on this morning. So, who is going to win, and how do you think, after what we saw in Akron this past weekend, how is Tiger Woods going to do this weekend?
I don't care.
I don't know anything about this golf course.
I haven't given a damn about the PGA Championship ever in my life. I'm watching it because it's sports. If he wins, fine. I don't care. I know his odds are pretty decent. He does have pretty decent odds going into it. Other than that, I don't give a damn.
Here's it just for the golfing community, of which Ken is becoming. So I think in a year he is going to care about this. The really cool thing every year about the PGA tournament is you have your local PGA pros that qualify all over the country, and they have a chance to be on the leaderboard. And this happens. We've had local pros. I remember when I was younger, it was Triv's brother. Okay, Gary Trevisano was on the leaderboard almost the entire first two rounds. So anybody, and you see these out-of-shape local pros who've been hitting on women, you know, the entire, I'm going to go get a lesson with the pro. Yeah, husbands out there, you might want to do tandem lessons at the country club.
Yeah.
Because you know why these guys get into it. They're not happy. They're not making all the money you think they're making. They have to go back and forth from Florida up to Cleveland for the 3 months they can make their money. They're going to try to entertain themselves any way they can. Have you ever seen the movie Fletch? Come on.
All right. And off of that, the news done brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com.
Is that reckless speculation?
That was as reckless a speculation as you possibly could find.
You know, someone's going to go, wait, Gary Trevisano is a pro doing what? No. I'm not saying that.
I'm sorry. You going to watch Dustin tonight?
Yes. Hell yeah.
It's Dustin.
Hell yeah.
It's Dustin and Bernie on the sidelines. Then, of course, you can listen to it here for your home.
Tim
for
Couch.
Cleveland Browns football, 93.3 The Fan. Tim Couch, who everybody's talking about him, man. You got Jay Crawford doing the play-by-play. And then you have basically, I mean, Tim Couch. I mean, I can say that. That guy's got porn star muscles now.
Finally, it's someone else talking about a human body.
That guy is Johnny Sins with hair, man. he's yoked. He's yoked.
Yeah, what happened here? Couch told us when we did our fan night. What did we call it where we were over at the Hard Rock, Roxino?
He walked right out of a stadium and into a weight room. That's what it looks
like. So, of course, Dustin. Dustin did out of the scene of, what's the porn star movie? Come on, Dirk Diggler.
Oh, help me Boogie out. Nights.
Boogie Nights. Philip Seymour
That's one of
Hoffman.
Your favorite movies.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman goes, "What do you bench? What do you bench?" That was Dustin with Tim Couch.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of workouts you getting in? You doing Insanity? What are you doing? You doing two-a-days? At what point Tim Couch is like, "All right, enough.
I'm not going to be concerned until Nina Hartley shows up at camp. And I'm going to get in line for an autograph."
About Roller Girl.
Moving on there, bud. Now, Zach Jackson joining us at 8:20. You know, you expressed some concern about bringing along Baker. Can I just, and I don't think this is going to turn into some sort of an argument whatsoever. I'm a little bit nervous about how I would handle Baker. Because I think that what they're doing is, hey, you're the number two, learn, be ready, and that type of thing. And I think they're trying to do it the right way. You thought maybe it could turn him away. If you're a professional quarterback who's just starting out his career, you're a pup, you're a number one pick, and you're getting down on yourself about this stuff when you haven't even played and you're having a good practice, I would have concern with the player. I would have concern with my own pick if that were to go that way. I would handle this where I know his history. He plays with a chip on his shoulder at all times. And I've questioned about how much of a chip on his shoulder it is towards media members, things like that. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. I would make this almost to be impossible that he's going to be a starter and tell him that it's almost impossible that he's going to be a starter. But I fear, though, that he is a guy who carries such a chip on his shoulder. You know, I watched that and we played that Davis Webb clip where Davis Webb told him to fetch his towels and he's like, "I'm nobody's towel boy." And you're not having that at all. And I liked what he said there. I'd be afraid, though, if I was his head coach, that at some point I'm going to put him in. And I want him to trust me when I put him into the game. That can be a part where I remember what he said in that documentary about Cliff Kingsbury. And I know it was different circumstances. He felt that he got hurt in the game, and then Cliff Kingsbury basically just didn't want anything to do with him. I know it's a little bit of a different circumstance there. But there's already something in the back of his head now that even though Cliff Kingsbury and I would be in the different situation, that would still be in the back of his head. So if he knows he's playing well, everybody knows he's playing well, I want to make sure that he has a chip on his shoulder and he wants to prove people wrong, but I don't want it to be an adversarial situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn it into Dan Reeves and John Elway over here. Because
and Gary Kubiak. Yeah, I remember that stuff.
You get what I'm saying. I want to do what's right by him. And that means motivating him and probably motivating him in that way. But I don't want him to go, "Well, this a-hole doesn't know anything that he's doing. I'm going to go do what I'm going to do." And then he himself runs into trouble just because I'm trying to motivate him. So I think that they need to walk a very fine line here between how they do it. Because there is a history that a coach has wronged him in the past, according to him and his family in this documentary. Probably Cliff Kingsbury might tell a different story, but according to him, he's been wronged. And so he would take that very personally. And even though it's a different situation, I don't know if I would get that benefit of the doubt because of what's happened in his past.
I just wonder what the harm would have been. I'm just asking, and people have presented their cases, what the harm would have been for Tyrod Taylor or Baker to say, "Yeah, we're gonna let both of you guys get some reps with the ones. It's probably Tyrod's job, but you know, if Baker wows us, whatever." Just to dangle that carrot for Baker, who always thrives in that situation where he has something to compete for. And Tyrod, face it, let's face it. If you ask Tyrod, he's always looking over his shoulder. That's not going to impact how he plays.
I agree with you. 216-578-0092. I have a theory at 940. Coming up next, the very great Zach Jackson from The Athletic. We'll ask him how he'd handle Antonio Callaway and how he'd handle Baker Mayfield tonight. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on The Fan. Do the Giants have songs like this? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We used to thrive. You know what happened? All the creativity that went to our songs went to the t-shirt industry.
Oh.
Let's get the songs back going. If the Browns
it's
are good
to
this
make
year.
Songs now.
Oh, you can do it on your phone. Yeah. We did our music festival and we had people submit just on the phone.
It was amazing how many submissions we got.
We're looking forward to the Browns tonight. You're right about that. We're looking forward to the Browns tonight. We're looking forward to a great preseason game in Baker and to talk about all that positivity. We welcome in our very own Ray of Sunshine, Zach Jackson from The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've actually been awake here on the East Coast and listening to your terrible show, so I'm glad to be a part of it.
You're just a wonderful person. We are all very fond of you, Zach. We thank you very much. Okay, before we get going with the preseason game here and what it does and doesn't mean, Has there been anything that we've said that you've taken umbrage with?
No. You know, it's your job to talk and argue and present different scenarios on Callaway. And, you know, it's complicated. They draft this guy knowing he's forever been in trouble. They love him talent-wise. They immediately promote him, and he does this. Now, is this a huge deal in the context of anything? Is there a chance he might not even be charged with anything? Sure.
Can we do something?
Yeah,
Zach,
we're
going to
put you on hold real quick.
Let's try to call Zach. Let's try to call Zach on his cell.
Yeah, seriously. It sounds like he's on vinyl.
It was a record player.
He tried to get us a clean line from the hotel phone.
And it was worse than his awful cell phone.
It's like Lieutenant Dan trying to call in the Jets right now. I don't know what was that. But
Zach Jackson on a 45.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
All right. So I just always wanted to do this while we're waiting for a guy to call back. Just sit here in awkward silence. Go, we're waiting.
Well, I was trying to think of the reference in Star Wars where Princess Leia comes
it's
up.
Ringing.
And what is that called?
Wait, say that again?
In Star Wars, Princess Leia appears, right?
In a hologram?
In a hologram.
Yes.
We could have Zach on a hologram back in 1972 as part of the Star Wars feature, and it would be better than the quality of his freaking phone, which is a landline in the hotel.
Yeah.
What kind of cheap hotel is the Athletic putting Zach up that they have that kind of a phone line?
Well, to answer such questions, we welcome Zach back on from New Jersey. Hello, Zach.
For once, that was not my fault. That's your producer's fault. I said, I hear static.
Yes.
Right under the bus.
Yes, I love it.
Zach, okay, so what were you saying when you were talking about our terrible show?
You know, I think there's good answers on both sides of the Callaway situation. The Browns signed up for this. The Browns were willing to take the risk. He does this. I mean, on one hand, it's the NFL. They don't care. They need you to produce on Sunday. On the other hand, you talk all this stuff about culture and whatever, and you have these two guys in Gordon and Callaway who are always in trouble, right? And you need to get to winning, and you need to get past the stuff, and it is a distraction. So, I think there's a great chance that legally nothing comes of this, although you could never explain away how you could really say, I'm not sure whether my license is suspended or not, because, come on, you either know. It's either active or it's not.
Yeah.
But it's the question of the tolerance of what are we going to do. We come out and say, this guy's on a one-strike policy, and here it is. And the bigger thing is he didn't tell the team. So I don't think they're going to cut him. And I know he'd be claimed if they did. So I think that's part of it. But, I mean, this is a guy that not even the Bengals were going to draft until the seventh round. And the Browns drafted him in the fourth and made him a starter in a week. And you're always going to live with him, just like with Gordon for years, wondering what's next, wondering what day you're going to think he's in the plan, and he's not going to be available.
All right, so, Zach, we've been debating whether or not he should have even made the trip. Ken's worried about leaving him alone, which I do understand.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole thing, is it's comical to say that, but it shows where you are. Like, okay, you need this guy, you want this guy, but if it's that bad, he's a 23-year-old man and you can't leave him alone, then why waste your time?
That being said,
I agree with bringing him on the trip. I think he'll play tonight. I think he'll start, and the Browns have said, here we go. So, I mean, because I got a problem jumping on either side of the train with it. It's just, this is what they've chosen, and this is what it comes with, and they see it every day. I mean, here we are again. Josh Gordon's coming tomorrow, and tomorrow Josh Gordon's not coming.
You know, Zach, my thought has always been, and I got into this a little bit yesterday, even when I called you, is that I got some folks saying, well, you know, you're not improving your culture by keeping him around. You weren't really improving your culture by drafting him. You improved your culture by having guys in key positions who you know can take care of their business on the field, and once they can't, that's when you let those guys go. But when we're looking at Antonio Callaway, I wouldn't have drafted Antonio Callaway in the first place. And then I'm looking back and I'm going, what are we really mad about? Are we mad at Antonio Callaway? Maybe. But are we really mad because I don't remember the last time we've had ourselves a good, solid draft pick at wide receiver of a guy who's just went out there and done his job the right way.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the issue. I'm not sure what you're asking. I mean, that's the issue. You finally have a legit professional receiver in Jarvis Landry. It's the first time in a decade,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you had a guy lead the league in receiving in 14 games 5 years ago, and he's played in 9 games since or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you need receivers. You need playmakers, and that's why you draft Antonio Callaway. But when he doesn't make it through 8 days of camp without an incident, you have to wonder, is it worth going through this again? And I can't answer that. You can't answer that. The Browns have to make their choice and roll forward. I mean, their game-changing receiver is Jarvis Landry. Their potential season-changing receiver makes Instagram videos. He doesn't play football very often.
Zach Jackson from The Athletic joining us on the show. You notice I'm not going to disagree with you about that. Zach, I'm going to ask you about Baker just because he's going to play more tonight. What do you expect to see from Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think he'll play well based on what I've seen. I think there's been a little bit of jumping to conclusions, like he's been great every day and bombing these touchdowns. But the flip side is his accuracy has been really good when he knows where he's going, especially. And tonight is a big challenge for him and a big evaluation point in terms of, instead of running in and out for four plays, like handling an 8-10 play drive, calling audibles, calling a timeout in the middle of the series, potentially a 2-minute drill, all of these things. So I think the starters will play two series. The only way they play one is if it's like a 12-play drive. And then Baker will play from late in the first quarter or early in the second quarter, I think all the way through the third. So he'll have a chance to encounter a lot of things. I wonder who's going to be out there with him at wide receiver. The first week he made all his big plays with Rashard Higgins, who's now at least a little bit on the first team and would be on the first team if they sit Antonio Callaway. And boy, what a punishment that would be to suspend him for two drives in the first preseason game. So I don't, you're looking at guys like Damari Scott and CJ Board, but I think Baker has performed well. More importantly than anything else, Baker has definitely taken a big leap from the spring. And now it's a big 7 or 10 days as he gets this experience, gets back. They'll have some real practices next week and then another game where he'll again play two quarters next week. So I think they're pleased with Baker. I don't think there's any quarterback competition or any threat of Baker winning the starting job. And if Baker wants to do that or people listening want Baker to do that, it's got to happen over the next 7 days. And it starts with a solid showing tonight.
Zach Jackson joining us on the hotline. You can find him both at The Athletic and the A to Z podcast. We joked about some of our impressions of the preseason last year. They end up going 4-0. We know where some of us stand on that. But in all seriousness, this year, what should we be looking at? If we're Browns fans, what matters and what doesn't from what we see tonight at the preseason game?
Well, Baker matters, right? That is without a doubt. Now you have somewhere between a problem and an emergency at wide receiver again. Now, last year you had that, and you didn't have Jarvis Landry, so you're automatically better. But who are these guys, and can they play in the real games? You need Njoku to keep getting better. I mean, he's like a rookie for two more years, so you just every chance that he gets to play is a big deal. And defensively, there's really young defensive line and not a lot of depth, so do you need to make a move there? These guys need to play the young ones that they like. Then in the secondary, I have huge questions. I see guys run wide open at practice every single day, and we know what happened last year. So it's a remade secondary, and it's early, so we'll see there. I'm not sure Davis Webb is going to light you up, but he might. So, not just Denzel Ward and Mitchell, because I think those guys have really emerged, but who's behind them, and then how does it all sort out? Because we know Peppers and Kindred are close. We know Breann Body Calhoun has played like six different positions. Kind of where do guys fit and who makes plays against a new offense and new set of receivers.
Zach Jackson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are we making too big a deal about Hard Knocks?
No. Yes and no. I mean, I don't know exactly what you mean by making too big a deal.
Okay.
But it's a TV show.
The scene with Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson, a lot of people
are
making a big
deal. Yeah,
we are?
People are making too big a deal about that. Yeah, that's okay. That's business. I think that goes on in every meeting room. That's certainly a football thing there, you know? I mean, Todd Haley, the screenshot of Todd Haley's exasperated look is good, and I'm sure I'll be texting and tweeting that to you at times over the next 4 months. Mm-hmm. But I just think that that's something that goes on. I mean, it's very clearly a TV show. The initial conversation with Hugh and Haley and the other offensive coaches, I mean, it was terrible. It was so contrived, and they were trying to hide, right, about Gordon. And then the rest of it, it's not in chronological order. It's a TV show. So, yeah, I think it's real easy to make too much of what you see on that show. But I thought
you know, besides that and then jumping in the lake, which I'm just really tired of, I got an A+ besides those two things.
What did you think? Explain a little bit, clarify if you can, what you mean by you thought it was contrived, the Gordon stuff.
You're telling me that all of a sudden Hugh Jackson sits down with his offensive coordinator, his receivers coach, and his tight ends coach, and just ho-hum, oh shucks, hey guys, Josh is not going to be here. It's probably only going to be a couple days, but he's just not going to be here. Well, how long? Well, he'll be here. And then Hugh just kind of gets quiet and it fades away. I mean, come on.
I find it very interesting that all of the discussion of we're concerned about his privacy. We don't care about his privacy. I mean, we care about his privacy. We are not, you know, talking to him or any question they dodged, every element of those questions about Josh Gordon. And then on the first episode of a nationally televised show that all the football fans are watching, did they violate his privacy right there and then? Like, it seems kind of silly to me.
Yeah, I mean, their answer was he'll be here soon, right? And that's 2.5 weeks ago. So I don't know what's going on or what the outcome will be. I don't know what John Dorsey's perplexed look in that press conference meant. I just know every day that he's not here, he's not here. And so it's hard to believe soon and be back and everything's good. That's all. I don't know. I've heard 100 different things, and I don't know any of them to be true or untrue. And I don't know. I don't even have a lean anymore which ones might be true. It's just every day he's not here, he's not here. He's on Instagram. He's not helping the team.
Zach Jackson joined us on the hotline. The discussion about whether or not players need to play, this came up with Jarvis Landry. This came up with Todd Haley. And without overreacting to what we saw in Hard Knocks, I feel like every team is always internally having this discussion about whether guys play or not. We know Todd Haley, it's been brought up as part of that Bill Parcells school where he would almost humiliate players that were taking days off and on the bikes, and they would have to wear these big jerseys with a big red X, almost as to shame them, like a scarlet letter for missing practice. My thought was, what was Myles Garrett thinking watching his teammate Jarvis Landry say that, and also Todd Haley, and do you think that stuff does matter?
I've been on Hugh's side in this. I'd rather have my guys later. You know, if there's a history of hamstring issues, if there's a chance to hold them back and give them a day, I mean, some of that, they're on the bikes on July 29th. Like, who cares what happens on July 29th ever? So, yeah, what Todd Haley said about the players who haven't done bleep, not doing bleep, he makes a valid point, and you have to get the work done. But, I mean, it's still like August 9th, right? It's a calendar month until there's one game, and there's 15 after that. So, you know, you can call me whatever names, and I read them every day in my Twitter mentions. I'm firmly on Hugh's side on this one.
Oh, I thought you'd be on the other side. I'm a little bit surprised. I understand your point, what you're saying, though, Zach. I'll give you that one. Zach Jackson.
I mean, you know, Miles got hurt twice in practice.
That's true.
Year, right? Now, they were freak accidents. But this is a guy, Miles is like a once in a decade or multiple decades guy. It has a history of lower body injuries and got hurt twice in practice last year.
Yeah.
Does anybody give a darn what he does on practice this coming Tuesday?
No. You're right about that.
That's how I look at it.
Well, Zach, because I tried to explain it a little bit yesterday, because I go back to Mike Pettine, and Mike Pettine's first camp was a lot of people thought, wow, they're really banging out there. They're really getting after it. And then the second camp, my God, it was just the Tour de Berea out there where everybody was out on a bike. I want to know what you think, how deep this football team is. Are they deep at all, or do they still need to work on it? Because that leads up to the next one.
They're deeper.
Yeah.
They're deep in a couple spots. You know, Ken, I am looking right across right now at MetLife Stadium. Now, the old stadium's not here, but it was 10 years ago that Romeo was running Camp Cupcake. The Browns came out here for a Monday night game, and like four guys got hurt. Or six guys got hurt, right? Now, did that have anything to do – did their concussions that night in that game have anything to do with what went on in camp?
No.
You know, I don't know. Somebody pulled up lame. I mean, should he have been going harder or less in camp? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep your guys healthy. And everybody's going to sit a day. Everybody's going to – you know, the schedule's going to change up. You're going to have to adjust some things on the fly. But I understand – totally when Haley says we can't live in our fears, but also you got to be smart and you got to keep your guys. And we know what's at stake here. Hugh knows, even though he won't talk about it publicly because he never answers a question straight up, he knows his job is at stake. And he knows they have to win games starting September 9th. So what happens in July and the first week of August, is not really going to be tied to any of that. Tonight, the thing is get to work and get back to work. That's the whole deal. It doesn't matter if they score 2 touchdowns, 10, or throw interceptions tonight. You know, it's great. What did I tell both of you guys? It is so good for you guys that 3 of the preseason games are on Thursday, because on Friday morning we can have overreaction Friday, right, to Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. Yes, to the Browns, all that matters is get that on tape, get everybody in the training room, get everybody on the plane, and go home and get back to work.
Zach, I thank you very much for the time. You're the best. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Zach Jackson joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A couple of takeaways from that when we come back, mm-hmm. and also – the primetime schedule is out for you, Cavs.
Let's go.
Kinda. I got something to bring up right we come back. Just don't say his name, okay? Let me read this real quick. 92.3 The Fan invites you to our free lunch powered by Cuyahoga Community College and our friends at K&D Real Estate on August 9th. That's today, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Perk Plaza. Perk Plaza on the corner of East 12th and Chester in downtown Cleveland. Got Marco's, got Pierre's Ice Cream, got Jack Frost Donuts. Make sure you go to the Vendor Village, get a Lupus Foundation of America goodie bag. It's free lunch from Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. It's today, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. I want to get to the Cavs schedule here in a moment. Plus, Zach said something that was very strong, and I think I want to talk about that coming up at 9:20, because we might be making too big a deal about Hard Knocks. Lima, you just shared a story. Now, protect the innocent, if you can. If you don't want to say, you don't have to say, we just move on. Okay, are you okay with saying it?
Yeah.
You have a buddy.
Well, I won't say the name. But
you have a buddy who's getting married, who's thinking about getting married for maybe a second time.
Thinking about it, yeah.
So what was the problem here? Because
everybody knows how expensive weddings are, especially when you're younger and just out of college.
Oh, of course.
And you got to travel to them if they're
not in
Cleveland.
Going to the wedding.
Yeah,
you go to a
wedding. You spend a lot of money. You give the gift. You got to buy the tux or buy a suit or whatever it is. And it is just a really, especially if it's not in your hometown. And at that point, a lot of us weren't even living in Cleveland, but this wasn't even in Cleveland. It was somewhere else. So you all had to do airfare, hotel, all that stuff. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, then when they get divorced, the joke is, all right, am I getting half of that back? Am I getting some of it back? You know, how do we do this? And obviously you're not really looking for anything back, but when they get married again, and let's say they get married, and I'm talking about guys, if they get married to a woman who it's their first marriage, you got to go, don't you? And you got to do the whole thing again.
Man.
And so my whole thing is, okay, can I sign a contract this time, like a warranty? Can I get my money back if this doesn't work? Because I'm not trying to be cheap, but these aren't cheap. These are not, you know, inexpensive.
How good of a friend?
Used to be really, really, really good. Now, just because out of town so long, just, you know, not as much. We don't talk as much, as I should say.
It's her first wedding?
Yes.
Man.
What's the age?
Ooh, that's good.
My age, 37.
All right, because
she's 37.
No, he is.
How old is she?
I have no clue.
What do you think? Have you met her at all?
Probably 30.
30.
Yeah.
So she's
still not young.
Yeah.
Right. But first marriage for her, and she's living in a metropolitan city. They get married a little older in those cities.
Yeah. I mean, no one's from Oklahoma, so they're about 13, 14. Never mind. Go ahead.
Cousins. But in this case, you know, she's going to want to have the big to do, and so she's going to go, well, you got to invite your friends. They've got to come out.
Usually the second marriage. Now, I know, Owen, we make jokes, but you had a destination wedding. Usually the second marriage is
My second wife's, or my current wife, it was her first marriage.
He's getting confused.
You know, there's so many of them.
Yeah, there are. But it was a small ceremony.
It was just me and her. We didn't even take kids, parents. Nobody came.
I don't think you... What was the gift for the first marriage? Did you say?
I just did a donation,
which is good.
Can I ask how much?
I think because I was in the wedding, it was a little steeper. It might have been. It was either 150 or 200.
Wow!
You don't get that back. You don't get it back.
That's why you got to give a gift.
I feel like she got half of that
because I have no problem.
I don't want to donate to her. The ex.
If I got you an air fryer, I don't care about getting an air fryer back. The money, is different though.
Yeah, but you got to remember you're paying. It's not a penance, but it's for your dinner and things
like
that.
Yes, you are getting something for it, for sure.
But now,
especially if there's an open bar.
She's obviously from the West Coast.
Yeah.
So they're going to have that marriage. If they're going to get married, they're going to have that wedding over there in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So you're traveling out there.
No easy flights from Cleveland out there these days.
Yeah, you're not doing a one way.
Yeah, I might have to connect. You know how I hate connections.
and end up in Utah at BYU.
Oh no!
If he's that good a friend, are you going to be in the wedding again? Because it's her first wedding. If you're going to be in that wedding again,
I have a feeling, yes.
You're going to have to bite the bullet. I'm sorry.
Oh great! So just thousands of dollars in wedding expenses. You know what? I'm going to get married, divorce just to do this, and always a first wedding for the girl. It'll always be a younger girl, so you probably expect that anyway. And I'm just going to do this and put everybody through the stress of that.
Yeah, I think you got to do it. I'm sorry. I wish there was a way. If it was their second wedding both, then that's perfectly fine. But it's her first wedding. 30 people are getting a little older, getting married.
I obviously want to go. I do want to go, but yeah. It's like, man, how much do you think the average person, I know depending on where you grew up and everything, how much would you say the average person has spent on attending other people's weddings?
Well, usually your wedding is around here, around the area. As far as a gift, a couple hundred bucks, depending.
But add it up.
Oh, the average?
Add it up all over the board.
I had people who went to my wedding, blood relatives, got me nothing.
Nothing, yeah. Oh, and people keep track. Okay. Any of you people think that they're not keeping track, they are.
Take one guy here. We'll move on to the Cavs. Let me get to Steve and Amherst. Steve, you're next up on the Fan.
Anthony, my wife and I, it was our second marriage, both of us. She didn't have a wedding at her first time she got married. So we had a dinner, really nice dinner, steak, appetizers, stuff like that. And we put on the invitation, no gifts, monetary or otherwise. Please just come enjoy the celebration with us. So I don't think a lot of people want gifts. If somebody invites you, I kind of think they just want you there to celebrate with them. So maybe that's just pressure you're putting on yourself.
He's right. No, I definitely am. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
That's an interesting point because when you started giving gifts, most are, hey, you two kids, you're just starting out. Like that type of
right,
thing.
Yeah, give them a little
boost.
So you
get wedding gifts. Yeah, you give them a boost.
Well, and that's why we did it our way because we didn't need Tupperware and things like that. We already had all that stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve, and you guys make good points there. Yeah, people are getting older. They got careers already. Okay.
All right.
I can see it that way.
Momo242 says the line to steal at the ceremony is, second wedding. Hey, everybody. Welcome back, everyone. Can you imagine?
Joe says you should make a donation to the Human Fund for the wedding.
Or LeBron's High Promise School.
Okay.
What's coming up in the next segment?
Well, I guess speaking of LeBron... The Cavs,
we can do it.
The Cavs prime time schedule is out. Are we ready?
You want to do it?
Are you ready?
Are we ready?
What a transition.
Let's go.
Are you ready?
All right.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, turn off your phones, turn up your radios, and most importantly, shut the hell up because it is time for the 2018-2019
yes!
Cleveland Cavaliers prime time schedule.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Let me hear the music.
What do you got, Tone?
All right. Let's start out with.
That's ridiculous.
They don't have any so far.
Wait a minute. There's nothing there on Christmas?
No.
They play like 8 games on Christmas. You're not part of the 16 teams that play on Christmas?
Lonely Lima going to be hanging out doing this.
Oh, no. Martin Luther King Day.
Now, wait a second. Kevin Love is a star. Colin Sexton, up-and-coming youngster, dominated the summer league.
This is the up-and-coming Cavaliers.
What about a primetime home opener at all? Nothing on national TV?
Opening night?
First Thursday? Hold on a second. Hold on.
We got nothing? We got nothing for the big holiday matchups? Nothing?
I mean, Rodney Hood, do I go in the game? Do I not go in the game? Do I sign the contract? Do I not sign the contract? There are so many storylines. This sucks.
Actually, you're going to hate me for this, and everybody's going to call me a sissy. I'm kind of happy. I'm a little bit relieved. I told you, Christmas and having LeBron play on Christmas with your friends and family and people who don't know basketball, it's the worst. It's the absolute worst because they're playing Golden State. They were playing Golden State then. I don't have to deal with that. And then The Lakers got to be playing Golden State then. Is it the Lakers and Golden State on Christmas?
On Christmas,
and Martin Luther
yes.
King Day? Oh, my God. That's even more fun. That you take that and you turn it from something horrible to something fun, because now you can see people's reactions to LeBron.
True.
And whether or not they're rooting for LeBron or they're rooting for or against Golden State. And you know there's going to be huge family fights at Christmas, and I'm going to sit back and watch and laugh.
What about Festivus? Have you seen anything on Festivus?
Festivus.
Anything there?
Oh, Festivus there.
Well.
It's going to be very, very different this year. It'll be like the old Cavs.
Sad enough. Coming up at 9:05, your chance to win $1,000 in the Pigskin Payout. Coming up next, Anthony and I, we got to make sure, and I think he's going to agree with me, we're going to be very careful how we talk tomorrow morning if Baker Mayfield is great tonight.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.